It's y'all. Welcome in, everybody, to an After Dark episode of the Dumb Marks Podcast. It's your boys. The four-man booth right now is back to a three-way.
Triple threat. So,
it's triple After Dark, but we don't need to say three-way.
Well, I wanted to keep with the theme of the show, right? Jason is enacting his Brock Lesnar clause in his podcasting contract by not showing up tonight. I guess he was in Saudi Arabia for WWE yesterday and couldn't make it for the show. So, with that being said, gentlemen, how we doing? We feeling good?
Doing good.
Nice. Donald, nice to see you back from your vacay last weekend.
Yeah, I only got two more days on it and then back to work on Monday.
Well, everybody, thanks for tuning in tonight. We're going to break down and predict Bound for Glory, Impact Wrestling's a la WrestleMania. All Out or Double or Nothing, depending on which AEW executive vice president speaks. But it's Bound for Glory's, Impact's biggest show of the year. This card I've been looking forward to for a while, especially as it's been building. Impact is put on great wrestling. Pretty much for most of this year, they've really hit their stride and haven't had too many misses from a weekly show base as well as pay-per-view wise. And arguably some of the matches of the year as we come down the home stretch of 2021 have come from Impact Wrestling. So the card is tomorrow night at 10 o'clock, which I like. I don't know if you guys are a fan of that.
10 Eastern, since it's in Vegas. I'm not crazy about starting so late, but I mean,
for it's just like watching a UFC event.
Yeah,
it's no different, and it allows you to watch Dynamite from 8 to 10, and then you can go right into Bound for Glory.
Yeah,
so it's a hell of a night of pro wrestling on tomorrow night, and the pay per view will be the nightcap of it all. So with that being said, we'll go in through the card. We'll break it down, give you our predictions, what our match of the night may be, so on and so forth. If you're with us, let us know who you think is going to win each match, what picks we got right, what we got wrong. Chime in, interact with the show, let us know, drop some comments, and let's get this party started. So with that being said, in no particular order, let's get into breaking down this card, which should be a very good show, top to bottom.
We will go in a little bit of an order. The only one that we know for sure that will start the night is the pre-show match, which will be for the new Impact Digital Media Championship. It's a six-way match. John Skyler versus Crazy Steve versus Falaba versus Jordan Grace versus Chelsea Green. And as of today, Tennille Dashwood had to back out of the pay-per-view, so Madison Rayne will be taking her spot in this match.
Yeah, hopefully it's nothing serious with Tennille. Haven't seen or heard anything since it was announced that she would not be on the card tomorrow night. I know they do TV tapings on Monday and Tuesday, which there still are tickets available for. If you guys are in the Vegas area and you want to go to the TV tapings, there's still tickets available for that. The pay-per-view itself is sold out, so that's a plus for Impact, Got a sold out house there, so that'll be good. Hopefully the crowd is raucous. I don't mind this match being on the pre-show. I don't think it needs to be on the main card itself, but it's something to get people, hyped up for and be a good way to get the crowd started on the night. And Impact here we got, we got three guys and three girls. So the intergender wrestling Impact has done more of this recently than what they've done in the past. They've always done it in a good way, in a believable way. So I don't think there's any reason as to why this match couldn't come off as being believable, especially with the three women that are in it to begin with.
Yeah, interesting. The whole thing, and I get why they're putting this match on the pre-show, because it's going to be on YouTube for their pre-show. Since it's their digital media championship, which I believe it's going to be more on Impact Plus and their YouTube. I forget what they're calling it now, but like where you subscribe to their YouTube channel.
Yeah.
So it's cool. I mean, something different, intergender wrestling, which you don't really see a whole lot of in the US these days. So. Mm-hmm.
No, and I'll be interested to see what they actually do with this championship. Mm-hmm. Listen, social media is the way of the world right now, right? It has been. It's only getting bigger. Everybody is on social media in some form or fashion. So having a digital media champion, if you're going to run stuff, and half the time, most of the stuff, the interactions that go on social media is more entertaining than the creative that gets written for the shows. So,
yeah.
I'll be interested to see where this belt goes and what is done with it, as far as promoting it and so on and so forth there. But, out of the competitors listed here, who do you guys think is going to walk away as the first ever digital media champion?
I was actually surprised when they announced this title. I thought you had to go with Zack Ryder, you know, Matt Cardona being formerly WWE Internet Champion. Just like that was just the perfect fit. Just looking at these six, I think this is a good spot to put Jordynne Grace. You know, we had talked previously about, you know, she's formerly a Knockouts Tag Team Champion, hasn't got the Knockouts title yet, I believe. I think this is a good spot for, you know, I think she's the perfect person to have some intergender matches. And, you know, I don't know if this is going to be something where you're going to see long-term champions with this title, but, you know, I think she's a good one to kick it off.
Yeah. Hopefully they don't turn it into the 24/7 championship. a la WWE, because that's old, that's done with. Don't want to see that. So, all right, so you got Jordynne. Donald, who you got?
I'll go with Chelsea Green. Hey, you can't have Matt Cardona, so why not have his fiance?
There you go.
Yeah, I was gonna go with Chelsea Green myself. Her or Jordynne Grace wouldn't be a bad pick. They're both, you know, extremely active on socials. And again, we're not sure what the rollout of this championship is going to be and how they're going to, what they're going to do with it. You know, but if you're looking at it from a social media aspect and who could do the most for the championship and who could get more eyes on not only that championship, but themselves and impact overall as a whole, I think Chelsea Green's probably the best person for that. Given what she does on social media on a regular basis. So with that, I'm going to agree with Donald. I'm going to go with Chelsea Green myself.
Nothing wrong with that. All right, so that's the only pre-show match announced right now. So going into the main card from here on, I don't really have it in any specific order. So let's go with Heath and a partner to be determined versus Violent by Design, and whether the team's Eric Young, Diener, or Joe Doring.
So has Eric Young been cleared?
I haven't heard
of him back wrestling. I think he's still injured. Okay. So I would assume it's going to be Diener and Joe Doring. The TBA here, and you know whether or not it happens, is Rhino, right? Does Rhino come back? And is Rhino, because Rhino was with Violent by Design? So does Rhino come back and join his old tag team partner, mm-hmm. and you know, start their run like they were supposed to do whenever they won the briefcase, back when Heath first showed up in Impact before he, you know, got that nasty injury. Shout out to him for coming back. That was, you know, potentially career ending. I know he had a long road, saw a lot of different doctors to even, you know, be able to find somebody to do the surgery on him, with how serious it was. So shout out to him for coming back and pulling through that. Hopefully he can still go in the ring. I've always liked Heath as a performer. Thought he's always made the most of his time, given whatever has been handed to him.
Yeah. I mean, especially in WWE, he went through a lot, was there for a while, and you know, never really made it up to that like real mid-card talent, but did the most with what he was given.
Yeah, I mean, he got over to I got kids, like, yeah. You know what I mean? Yes, like,
Jason would be the first one to talk about that.
Yeah, he changed his body. He bulked up. He added some muscle and that, and looked really good going into Impact. To me, you got to have Rhino come out and be the tag team partner here. It's whether or not he pulls the swerve on Heath and, you know, aligns back with Violent by Design, and then they're off and running on a feud moving forward. If Rhino does come back and joins up and they win, then, you know, you got to move them forward as far as getting on the the tag team title train and heading off down that road. So interested to see there. I'll go with Heath and the mystery partner to pick up the win in this match.
Yeah, I'll do the same. Heath and the mystery partner.
I'll go 3 for 3. Anytime there's a mystery opponent, that's usually the safe call.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this next match is going to be the Call Your Shot Gauntlet match. And right now there's only a couple competitors announced. So we got Rich Swann, Brian Myers, Moose, Morrissey, Chris Sabin, and then 15 to-be-announced competitors. This is very difficult to predict.
This is extremely difficult to predict. So we could pick one of the competitors here, or we could say the field, which would be one of the other 15 competitors that aren't announced yet.
So the stipulation of this match is whoever wins has a year to pick their to call their shot for any title match.
So a la Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
They've done Feast or Fire before with the briefcases, which I always liked that idea and that concept. So this is just another way to have people involved and give somebody a storyline moving forward for any one of the belts that are in the company here. Like you said, this is extremely hard to go with. Is this like
elimination?
Yeah, is it one after the other? Do we know that yet? Did they didn't announce how it's going to work?
I haven't seen anything. My guess would be over the top rope, but could be by pinfall. I'm not sure.
I mean, if it's by pinfall, that's way too many people for.
Could be like one pinfall and that's it. But, or I'm guessing over the top.
Man, that's going to be so chaotic for one pinfall.
Yeah, I think you would have to go with the over the top style match here. Have your, you know, two guys start out and then another one come out just like you do in the Rumble. And go with that. I'm going to go with Moose here.
Okay.
I don't, you know, Moose has had a strong year. Looks fantastic. He's really dedicated himself in the gym and improving his look. I like him as a big man in the business. He can work. He can do a whole lot. I know, Chris, you're not as high as on Moose as I am. Donald, I don't really know your feelings too much about him, but I've liked Moose since Ring of Honor. And I just feel like the mic work is the reason why they've never really put the belt on him. I thought he would have been Impact Champion by now. And he hasn't gotten to that mountaintop yet. But I like Moose to have it here, and then he can, you know, call his shot whenever he pleases and suits him best. I think it would fit his character the most. But, you know, you could have a feel-good story in Chris Sabin. You know, Moose and W. Morrissey have been doing some teamwork as of late, so don't know if they'll turn on each other or help each other out in this. Yeah, there's so many different ways that this match can go.
Yeah. 15 unknown.
Yeah, and that's what I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with somebody in the field because it's just a toss-up, and you never know. Somebody in that field could actually be somebody coming in from another promotion. So,
yeah,
who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you were saying about Moose, I kind of came to terms last year that they were going to put the belt on him. You know, not that I'm a huge fan, but I just felt that's the direction they were going with him. And, you know, this could be a good option for him to get back into it, you know, build him up a little bit more again and get back into it. W. Morrissey's been kind of hot shot a little bit since he's come in. You know, they've been building him up lately, and that's who my pick's going to be. I think there's a very good chance someone in the field's going to win it, you know, with 15 unknown, but with the ones that we know, I'll go with Morrissey.
Okay.
All right, so let's get into a title shot here with the Impact Knockouts Tag Team Championship. Champions Decay versus the incoming Inspiration. Donald, your tag team.
Yeah, my girls are back.
That's right. The former Iconics, former WWE stars here coming in. I'm really, really excited for them coming into Impact. I thought this was the best place for them to land. The women's division is strong in Impact. They do a lot with the tag team belts. And, you know, for me, them going to Impact, it's more about me seeing them wrestle in the ring. Not saying that they didn't wrestle in WWE, but they were your – I don't even want to classify them as a comedy act because they weren't a comedy act. But, you know, they were more known for stuff outside the ring. You know, you had the pose, like a la Christian Edge with the five-second pose. But I'm really curious to see what they do coming in and how they've changed their characters. And this new chapter, this new version of the inspiration. The music video drops, so you can head on over to YouTube and look for that. Great music video, by the way.
I like the video. I didn't like the music. I didn't think the song was anything special, but.
But no, I think they come in and you put the belts right on them, just like you did when the Good Brothers debuted at Slammiversary. Or wait, I got that wrong. They didn't win it right at Slammiversary.
I think they won it last year at Bound for Glory.
Yeah. But no, have them come in and put it on them right away. Give them the belts and let them run with it.
I'm normally not one for skipping in line for titles and all that stuff. But with these girls, yeah, I think they should get the belts right away. Build the division up. I mean, even though the division is strong, just let them roll with it. Let them go.
And I mean, look, and you see, Impact does a good job with their women's division, given the roster that they have, with having tag teams established, but also maneuvering those individuals from tag team into single stuff. Mm-hmm. So you see, you have Jordynne Grace and you have Rachel Ellering, and together they're a really good tag team, but they also do stuff singles wise. So you could put either one of them to run up against Deonna or whatever, you know what I mean? You have Tasha and her new partner, and I forget her name off the top of my head right now. But after, you know, Kiera Hogan left, you have Havoc and Rosemary. You have Madison Rayne and Tennille, you know? So like you have teams that you can work with, you know, for the inspiration to go up against. I just think they're two big name signings coming in. They're going to get eyes on your product, hopefully, help build up your women's division and make it stronger than what it already is. So why not put the straps on them and let them run with the ball and see what they can do?
Yeah, and I mean, there's not too many other women's tag team divisions for them to go to. You know, it's WWE right. And NXT and Impact, so you can't go to those two, so this makes the most sense. I agree, and I'm going to make it a third, and I'm going to go with the inspiration for the win here.
All right.
So that's going to move us into the Impact Tag Team Championship match. Champions the Good Brothers versus Finjuice versus Bullet Club, Chris Bay and Hikuleo.
I'm not – triple threats are hard enough, but whenever they're tag teams, it can get, you know, a little wonky. Because, you know, you're going from three people to six people, right? I like all three of these teams, you know. For me, I enjoy the Good Brothers. I know a lot of people can't stand them and think they're overrated and overhyped and they do nothing except ride the coattails of others. And I think they get a bad rap in that sense. You know, if you – not that – you want to harken back to what you've done in the past solely, but like their run in New Japan they were legitimately one of the best tag teams out, which is why they got signed by WWE based off of what they've done over there. Finjuice, I really like them a lot. You know, Juice Robinson was great. Talk about reinventing yourself and making something whenever you were CJ Parker holding up picket signs as a hippie in NXT. You know, he's done great things in New Japan, and him and David Finlay together are really good as a tag team. And, you know, this Bullet Club version here with Chris Bay and you know, Hikaru, like, that's a strong team there. You got the smaller guy, bigger. You got power. You got speed. You know, there's some interesting dynamics there. Although they're brand new as a team, moving forward. Right now, I think you got to keep it on the Good Brothers for right now. So I'm going to go with the champions retaining. Although this, out of all the title, well, I wouldn't say all the title matches because we'll get into that later, but this one is one where I can see they pull a switch.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the Good Brothers at all, but I don't see them losing the titles.
I think they're the best option in Impact right now as the champs. I don't remember when they won the titles back because they did lose it for a little bit. They've had a nice little run. Since Slammiversary, they've been kind of pushing the Bullet Club a little bit, and I'm kind of thinking Chris Bay and Hikuleo might have a chance here to pick up the win. So just for something different, I'm going to go with Bullet Club in this match, but it wouldn't surprise me if the Good Brothers retained either.
Right.
So let's go into the vacant Impact X Division Championship match. Josh Alexander was the Impact X Division champion, but he did option C for the main event on Bound for Glory, so we're going to go with Trey Miguel, Steve Macklin, and El Fantasmo for the vacant title.
And if you tuned in to any of our other Impact wrestling pay-per-view prediction shows we've done here on After Dark, we always, you know, kind of say the same thing with every X Division match and the fact that it can be match of the night on any given show at any given time. That division has always been Impact's strongest. Although the knockouts, you can argue, has been there as well. But this, to me, this is going to be a barn burner of a match with just crazy moves, fast-paced offense. You got El Fantasmo in there, who's super creative. Trey Miguel, to me, is one of the most creative wrestlers, you know, in wrestling right now with the stuff that he comes up with and does. I know you have, like, your TJPs and Ricochet before he got into WWE was that way. And then Steve Macklin, to me, is the wild card here. But with all that being said, I think it's time you put the belt on Trey Miguel and let him run with it. Coming off Josh Alexander, who gave you maybe one of the strongest X Division title reigns in company's history. And I'm talking about going back to TNA days, you know, with AJ Daniels, whoever you want to put up that has held that X Division title. I'll put Josh Alexander's run up against any of them. That's how good it was. That's how dominant he was and literally cemented himself on the map, you know, once Ethan Page left. So I've been on the Josh Alexander train since that time. But to me, Trey Miguel's the guy here. Put it on him. I think he's due for a title reign, and let him go with it and see where he can take the ball next.
I'm not familiar with Steve Macklin or El Fantasmo because I don't watch that much Impact lately. So I know Trey Miguel. I've seen his work before. So
you don't remember Steve Macklin from WWE?
No, I don't. No, I don't.
He was part of it was him, Riker, and Wesley Blake up on
SmackDown. Oh, they were the Forgotten Sons.
Forgotten Sons.
Not. No, I try to forget them. So, yeah, so I'm going to just say Trey Miguel just because of the name I know.
Yeah, we'll go another round here. I think Trey Miguel is the obvious choice to be champion. I think this is probably going to be the match that starts out the night, you know, sets the pace for the whole show. X Division, like you said, Steve, usually does steal the show. So we'll see how this match delivers. But I think Trey Miguel would be the right choice. Let's go into the Impact Knockouts Championship. We have Deonna Purrazzo versus Mickey James.
So Deonna Purrazzo was ranked third in the top 500 women's list that got announced yesterday.
150, yeah.
150, top 150. She was third overall. Impact Knockouts Champion, Reynes de Reyes Champion for AAA. I think she's either on, she's right near Taya's record for the longest reigning knockouts champion. If she hasn't already surpassed it, I can't remember.
She surpassed it, but one single reign, I think this week when I already checked, she was at 340 some days. Taya was at like 370.
So she's coming up on it.
Yeah.
She's coming up on it.
She'd beat it.
Hey, listen, she's one that, you know, when WWE had her in the system, I was like, why are you not doing something with her? I've always been a fan of Deonna.
Yes.
The work rate is what it is. The character is tremendous, and she has done nothing but taking the ball with this championship and has not looked back. I mean, I don't know what else you want me to say about her. Like, she's, you know, she is that girl right now that you need to have in all conversations as far as the best women's wrestler in the world, mm-hmm. given what she's done in her resume and what she's built up. So she was on Busted Open today talking about the match, with Dave LaGreca, and, you know, she called it a meeting of generations. And, you know, Mickey is going for number 10 here. For total championships between knockout titles and WWE women's championships. So she's chasing that double digit status. She's obviously, you know, a legend in women's wrestling. But she hasn't wrestled a lot over the years. She's been, you know, busy doing the NWA and power stuff. I think she's only had a couple of matches leading up to this match here. So, you know, will Wing Russ play into a factor? How much can she go? The story that they've told has been tremendous leading up to this. Both have been excellent. And, you know, this is something that's been in the making for 2 months, 3 months. So, you know, long-term storytelling, which we don't get much in wrestling right now, they've been able to do it with this storyline here, culminating in Bound for Glory. But for me, add Mickey James to the list of women that Deonna Purrazza has knocked off. So she retired Jazz. She's going to, you know, boo-hoo on Mickey's possible 10th title reign here and continue her dominance.
Yeah, there's no way Deonna's losing. She is, like, the best thing going women's-wise. All on next to Britt. I was like,
nobody. Well, rumors. It's funny that you bring up Britt, because Deonna, I saw the rumor, and then Deonna hinted at it today in the interview. But rumor going around was that Deonna and Britt both went to Tony Khan and Scott D'Amore and have been pushing to try and get them to do something as far as a tag team together. So instead of having the champion versus champion dream match, mm-hmm. They are best friends in real life. They're pushing to have them run together as a tag team, which I wouldn't mind seeing. That would be something different.
Yeah, that's way different.
Yeah, so you can get Britt over into Impact. That'll help draw Oz to Impact and have mm-hmm. her work with the Knockouts there, pushing that way. But yeah, Deonna's hinted at that because Dave brought up the whole dream match scenario and Forbidden Door and all that, and Deonna was like, well, you know, a lot of people want to see me and Britt face each other, and, you know, but maybe we can do something as a tag team together. So it was like, okay, there's legs to the rumor and innuendo that were out there about that. So we'll see if anything comes of it, but yeah, that would be something that I would be interested in seeing them get behind if they do decide to pull the trigger on that.
Yeah, that'll be real different there. Mm-hmm. Very, very different. But yeah, I'm going Deonna for sure.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, Steve, this Mickey James interrupted Deonna's celebration at Slammiversary. So we've been doing this storyline since then. So good build up with it. They had Empower to kind of hype it up a little bit more in between. I don't see Mickey James winning this match either. I think Deonna's title reign has just been very dominant. Like you said, another legend just to knock off our list. Deonna, at the end of the day, at some point soon, will be the longest reign Knockouts champion. And we just got, I don't know who's going to be the one to knock her off that pedestal, but that'll be an interesting match once it happens. So I'm going to go with Deonna as well.
Absolutely. You know, when you look across, like, and this is men's and women's, if you take the past year or a year and a half, I mean, you can argue Deonna's title reign is one of the best, if not the best, out of the bunch, men or women, given what she's done and who she's beat. She's 15-0 as the champion, so it's not like she's ducking anybody. She's literally defended the defended the belt constantly. That's a lot of title matches when you think about it. So, like, you know, I know Roman's reign, as far as the men's side goes, given its length and what he's done with it, but like I said, women's wise, it's a shame Impact doesn't get more viewers because it is a really good wrestling show. I don't know if it's just because them being on Access TV or what. I feel like the losing the Twitch, you know, deciding to move away from Twitch hurt them as far as viewers go. You know, they've plateaued on Access and haven't been able to garner any new viewership there. But again, I think that's more of an indictment on Access and how many TVs Access is actually available to. I know we don't have access to Access on our cable provider. So
when I had Verizon, I had Access and I watched it because that's whenever I watched New Japan on there. But, you know, since I now have Comcast and in our area, they don't offer Access. And yeah, I loved whenever it was on Twitch. I think that was a huge downfall. And I'm not paying Impact just to watch their program each week. Like, I don't think it's worth the money, I don't do it for NWA either. So.
But at least with NWA, they'll add their stuff to their YouTube channel that you can watch it.
Yeah.
So you can still watch the show.
Mm-hmm.
It may be a week behind, but you're still able to watch it and stay up to date. Like you said, is the money a lot of money? No, it's not a lot of money whenever you break it down. But when you add in all the other streaming services that you pay for on a monthly basis, plus if you still have cable, factor that in. So it's like, do I want to spend another $5 or $7, whatever it is, you know, to pay to watch them on Fight? Probably not. But again, that's something that, you know, they need to do a better job of getting themselves out there because the product is a solid wrestling product.
Yeah.
Right now, the roster's deep, both men's and women's. It's highly underrated as a roster, especially the women's side. So, yeah, I just, you know, they got to do more to get themselves out there. I don't know what the plans are, but for right now, it kind of is what it is and got to roll with it. But
it's not going anywhere because Fight Network Anthem bought Access just to put their product on there. So it's staying on Access for the time being. But they need some sort of avenue, whether it's renewing the Twitch deal or changing something on YouTube instead of getting money for it, just put it on YouTube a couple days later or something. But I agree. Just they need to be out there more than what they are.
So is this a clean sweep across the board for Deonna, for the Virtuosa?
Yep.
Yep.
Agreed.
All right. So let's get into the main event of the night. Impact World Championship champion Christian Cage versus former X Division champion Josh Alexander.
Good build for this match. I've been a Josh Alexander stan, like I said, before this year started. Him and Ethan Page, I really dug them as a tag team together, and I figured once Ethan left, you know, I was one of those people that were champion for Alexander to get a push, and man, you talk about exceeding expectations. He has multiple matches that could be match of the year, and in the discussion for match of the year. You know, a long title reign in X Division, never lost it, you know, cashed in with option C. I thought his promo was great last night last night. Last night's show. I thought it was a good promo there to put the nail in and, you know, have his stamp, so to speak, as far as, you know, hey, Christian, you know, what was the line? As long as you have a billionaire from another company writing your checks, you'll never be the face of Impact Wrestling. Like, okay. State the flag. You know, your Impact's bread and butter right now. I would have liked to have seen him be the one to beat Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
That's where I wanted it to go. They teased it briefly with that interaction, and I was like, okay, this is where we're going. this is going to be good. It's going to elevate Alexander up even more. And I thought him and Omega, them two could have put on easily match of the year, especially with how hot Alexander's been. And not saying that him and Christian won't have a good match because, you know, Christian's one of the best workers out there, regardless of his age. I know, Donald, you're against legends, but the work rate in the mind and psychology that he has is, from everybody in the business, will tell you it's top notch and one of the best out there. So I'm expecting a really good match between these two tomorrow night.
Legend has a title and the up-and-comer challenger. You know where I lay at. Very, very easy. Christian should have never sniffed the title at all. You know where my stance is. Josh Alexander all the way.
I think Impact had a money feud between Omega and Alexander for this match. I think they dropped the ball on that. I think for whatever reason, they've decided to put the title on Christian. You know, I don't know what all the workings behind the scenes were for it, but I think that would have been a better build.
I think if you're looking, you know, try to pull back the curtain and you know, lay out how I think those discussions went. You know, it's the first ever Rampage, a lot of eyes on it. You put the Impact title belt on the line. You have the title change going to a former Impact wrestler that had the belt previously. Like, I could see why it would make all the sense in the world. But again, did it translate to more people going and watching Impact? And it hasn't done it. And neither has the association with AEW. You know,
it did early on, but that died off over time.
Right. So now it's kind of just they're doing their own thing again. And now AEW is doing their own thing. Christian hasn't been seen on AEW TV in a couple weeks. You know, so we'll see what happens here. But in my estimation, Josh Alexander is going to win the Impact Championship tomorrow night. Like, there's no reason why. There's no argument that you can give me to tell me that he's not going to walk out of Bound for Glory as your champion.
Yeah. I mean, what was that? The New York show, whenever it looked like Christian got hurt in the match. Mm-hmm. So who knows if he is even 100% going into this. So even without that factored in, I would still say Josh Alexander. But right now, even with Christian, depending on if he's 100% or not, I definitely see Josh Alexander, no matter what, taking the title off of him. This is the perfect time to execute it, to start moving Impact forward. Yes. You know, they're going to be getting, they have some New Japan talent in there right now, and that's fine. You know, maybe at this point, other than the Good Brothers going back and forth, maybe you distance yourself a little bit from AEW, unless they do something with Britt. That was kind of something I was a little disappointed with, too, because when they've been advertising Bound for Glory, they've been saying that, you know, it was going to be Impact, AEW, New Japan, who was it, AAA. It's just like they kept teasing that there was going to be all these interpromotional, like, works with it. It's just like, yeah, there is a little bit of that, but that's not, like, what they're focusing on this pay-per-view.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying there, and like if you look at it, Christian is AEW.
Yeah.
Deonna is the AAA Women's Champion. You know,
there's no promotion of that for any of these matches.
You have Hikaru and that from New Japan. Like, yeah.
And Finjuice.
So yeah, I mean, I get it. But yeah, you know, we'll see. Suzuki's at, or he will be at the TV tapings.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens there with him coming in.
He's making his rounds.
Yeah, he is.
Hey,
making his rounds.
Yeah, we can talk about his North American run at some point in time, because
yeah, nice little stopover in AEW. I haven't seen much of his New Japan Strong run, but I'm interested to seeing what he does in Impact. Anybody that you would want to see him in any dream match in Impact?
Oh boy, you know, him and Alexander would be good.
That's the first one that comes to mind for me too.
Yeah,
and then I think that could go toe to toe with him.
Yeah, him and Alexander would be probably the top of my list if I'm gonna put in there.
I think for big hoss fights, him and Worsley would be a little bit crazy.
Could be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I him and Sammy Callahan, but Sammy got hurt. Yeah. You know, I think he broke his ankle and his leg.
He's gonna be out for a while.
Yeah. Maybe Eddie Edwards wouldn't be a bad matchup. Eddie can work any style. He's worked in Japan previously. He's underrated when it comes to in the ring. So I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. What happens there? It'll be interesting. How many matches he has and what he actually does in Impact. But no, I think like you said, this is the perfect setup. You get the title back on an Impact wrestler. He's waving the flag. He's Impact through and through. You put it on him, and then you build around him, and hopefully he can elevate the Impact title like he did the X Division title. Because, like I said, I would put him in his X Division title reign up against anybody's title reign this year from a match quality standpoint wise, and what he did to elevate that belt while he had it.
Yeah.
That's where I think they need to go and what they need to do. But again, you got to figure out a way to get more eyes on your product, and who knows what that's going to do. Even if you can at this point, like has Impact just kind of maxed out and they are what they are and people will tune in when they tune in? Or do you think that Impact can do something to garner more viewers?
I think the whole Kenny Omega AEW crossover was probably the highest they were going to get. And at this point, I don't know. I think if Britt came over, they would get some more viewers on some stuff, but I don't know if it would increase subscriptions. You know, so I think maybe people that have access might tune into it, and those that don't, they don't really have an option.
I'm just thinking now, like you have Britt and Deonna against Jordan and Rachel. Like that's a tag team match I want to see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have her and you have Britt and Deonna against Inspiration. That's a tag team match I'd want to see.
That's definitely heels versus faces there.
Yeah.
Both those matches, but especially the Inspiration.
I mean, even Tennille and Madison, I wouldn't mind seeing, even though it's heel versus heel, but,
Four
people that can go, like, you're going to get very high-quality matches out of those four women for sure. Like, it would be entertaining, high-quality wrestling.
Yeah.
So, all right. That's the breakdown of the card itself. As far as match of the night goes, who do you think will have match of the night?
I said it before, I think the X Division Championship definitely has the potential to steal the show. I think it'll go on first, set the pace, and steal at the same time.
That'll probably be the most, like, oh shit moments. there's going to be a lot of creative shit that goes on during that match like, how the fuck did he pull that off? Like,
but the two matches I'm most looking forward to that are making me want to watch the show are the Knockouts Championship and the World Championship. That's what I'm looking for.
Those are my two most ones that I'm most invested in, most looking with the most anticipation for. And honestly, I think Josh and Christian are going to have a match of the night.
That's what I was thinking too, because they're really technical with their stuff. And they're very technical with everything, and I'm thinking that's going to be matching tonight.
It's very rare that a main event's the show stealer. So
yeah. It's definitely going to be more grounded in that stuff, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah,
the more grounded stuff, just not the spot fest.
Yeah, I mean, they may pull off a high risk move here and there, out of desperation or something like that. But from a psychology wise and a work rate wise, that match, to me is everything that you can ask for out of not only a title match, but just a pro wrestling match in general. between those two guys. So super looking forward to that. I hope Christian's not banged up, you know, in actuality. There hasn't been anything at all. I know Jungle Boy referenced his neck on Dynamite last weekend, I believe it was. And I'm hoping that's more like storyline-wise, just giving him time off based on his contract. And, you know, he's going to wrap up stuff with Impact here and then move back over to AEW and see what he does over there. But, mm-hmm. yeah. All right, so that's match of the night. That's the card, the breakdown. Let us know what we got right, what we got wrong. And let us know, you know, if you're going to tune in for Bound for Glory. You know, I think it's, what, $40 on Fight?
Yeah.
I believe. To me it's worth the money. If you're gonna buy an Impact Wrestling pay-per-view, Bound for Glory or Slammiversary are the two that you're gonna buy. Because those are the two that they tend to load up the most, and those are the two that they tend to have the most surprises on.
Yeah, I agree.
So maybe you get an Adam Shear, formerly known as Braun Strowman, show up in the Gauntlet match. Maybe you get a Wyndham, which rumors to be that's what his wrestling name will be going forward, the former Bray Wyatt. He will just be going now known as Wyndham, which is his actual first name.
Josh Alexander is going to need some competition, you know, especially with Christian Cage and Kenny Omega not there. He's going to need somebody to step up.
Yeah, Sammy's out. You know, who's gonna step up next to the plate? We shall see. But no, I think top to bottom, this should be a very, very strong pay per view. The Gauntlet match may get a little out of control, as well as the six man tag team match. I think, looking at the card top to bottom, this has potential to be a really good pay-per-view. And Impact, in these situations, they've tend to over-deliver. I mean, they've put on strong pay-per-views all year, haven't really had a bad showing on pay-per-view this year. It normally Twitter's a buzz whenever Impact has a pay-per-view. So
I didn't love Slammiversary, but, you know, in my opinion.
Well, you're a little bit harsher of a critic over there. So tune in. Let us know where you're watching it from. Tweet along as the pay-per-view is going on. We'll be on social media, so hit us up. Let us know what we got right, what we got wrong. Tomorrow morning, we'll be back on our regularly scheduled time in the best four-man booth in the game. We'll be back at it, giving you our regular show. We'll have to cover on tomorrow's episode. As always, follow us on all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Email the show, dumbmarkspod@gmail.com. And head over to our Pro Wrestling Tees store, prowrestlingtees.com/dumbmarkspod. Hopefully we'll get some new merch up there soon. Got some ideas floating around. Going to run it past the Brain Trust here and see what we come up with. Get something new for the fall, winter time. I think it's time to add something to the collection. So with that being said, thanks for tuning in tonight for another episode of Dumb Marks After Dark. Gentlemen, anything else to say before we sign off for the evening?
I'll see you tomorrow morning.
All right. With that being said, thanks for tuning in again. I'm a Mark, you're a Mark, tell a Mark. And until tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern time, y'all can catch us around the way.